The Local Thread.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Patty Mazur, Executive Director of Communications with Toledo Public Schools. Thanks for joining me today. During the next hour, we are going to talk about the barriers that some students face when it comes to their education. Some of these statistics, some of the topics might surprise you, but in the end, I hope you gain a greater understanding of some of the struggles our students and their families are facing and how Toledo Public Schools is working to support them to overcome these challenges. Toledo Public Schools serves over 20,000 students from diverse backgrounds and family dynamics. Many of our students face complex, overlapping barriers that extend beyond the classroom, ranging from socioeconomic hurdles like poverty and unstable housing to serious health challenges, including mental health issues, chronic illness, and trauma. The district believes that actively helping families overcome these obstacles is essential for our students and our community. By shifting the focus from simply managing the problem to providing and developing options for support brings potential. This approach leads to improved academic outcomes and graduation rates, along with fostering social emotional growth and improves the community. Ultimately, addressing these barriers drives equality, equity, and inclusion, preparing our students to become engaged, capable, and compassionate citizens in our thriving society. I'm very excited to have the first guest here with us today, Dr. Heather Baker. Heather is the Executive Director of Community Engagement and Health Supports for Toledo Public Schools, and she oversees our homeless population. And I think this is one issue that people will be surprised to learn about, the impact, the number of students that we see, and it's certainly an issue that has received a lot of media attention recently.
Absolutely.
How many homeless students do we, or families, do we have in Toledo Public Schools?
We have approximately 2,000 homeless students, or students that have identified as homeless. That number goes up daily, and fortunately, which is a good thing, families sometimes find housing. So every day, the number is going up and down. Right now, we are sitting at approximately 2,000 students, though, that are labeled homeless in the district.
Out of 20,000, over 20,000, that's a big number.
And it is.
I think people understand the idea of homeless, but they think automatically of people, older people, adults maybe living on the streets.
Absolutely.
Is that something that you're seeing in your work? Do we have students in those situations, or what do they find themselves facing?
We do have students that unfortunately are living with their families in cars. We've had families that were living in the back of U-Haul trucks. We've had so many unique and challenging situations and families that we had to come to an immediate assistance and get them removed from that situation. But the majority of our families that are experiencing homelessness are doubled up, which means they're either staying with families or friends. Sometimes that means a family of four may be sleeping on the living room floor in a two-bedroom apartment with another family that has children as well. So it can be very crowded and tight. We don't know how long that situation might last, if something may happen where they have to ask that family to leave. We have a large portion of our students that are doubled up, and we also have about 200-plus of those students that rotate through our homeless shelters in the area as well. So we try never to have any families on the streets. Once it is brought to our attention, we want them in shelter, even if it's not a permanent situation. That's doubled up often isn't permanent. Even if it's not permanent, at least we know you're safe and you're sheltered. And that's our goal.
And that's a good point you bring up. Once you become aware of the situation.
Yes.
We just did some media with a young man who didn't really understand the fact that he was in the category of homeless. So how does your department, how do you become aware of a homeless family, and what are the steps that you take immediately when you find out about that?
So we train all frontline staff through all buildings to ask key questions when families come to enroll. And one of the questions they ask, you know, do you own your own home or are you renting? Do you have your own lease? And when a family, oh, well, no, I'm staying with the Johnsons, or no, we're staying with the grandmother, then the questions get a little bit more detailed. Well, is this a permanent situation or a temporary situation? Was it due to financial hardships? And we don't get too deep there in the front office. Just enough to trigger that, hey, this needs further information. We need some more questions asked. We have a whole team of caseworkers, which are amazing. And then once we get that referral, then we could do an assessment, a needs assessment, where we can see if you are doubled up or you are in a shelter. Instead of this, I'm just staying with my grandmother and this is my home and this is where we stay, versus I'm staying with my grandmother because we had a house fire or because I was evicted. So there's a difference. I'm looking for my own place, but we're here right now because we have nowhere else to go. So we have to, that's a fine line that you have to figure out. You have to figure out transportation for those students, because if I had a house fire and I was living on this end of town where we're at now, on the south end, are we south end, I believe? South end of town, and now I'm living at the family house shelter over by Pickett, do I have to transfer schools? Well, we don't want you to transfer schools. We want you to be able to stay where you're at with your friends, with your teachers, with the neighborhood that, you know, the community that you know, support that you have there, and we will transport you over to your shelter, back and forth to school. We'll make sure you get to stay for your after school activities, and we'll get you home back to the shelter safely. We try to make sure all of the educational process, all that's happening in that part of the world is secure and safe while you're going through the housing crisis temporarily.
And I would bet that stability is the one thing that the family can take rest assured in, that I know that my student will get to school, I know that they will get their education, I know they will come back home, and that that part of their day, they are where they need to be and doing what they need to do. So that's an awesome outreach that the district offers. And is that part of the trauma and impact that you see, or is it beyond that, that goes when somebody does realize and says to you, I need help?
You know, it's one of those things. If you, a lot of when people don't understand, I guess my biggest wish would be that people would have empathy and try to have an understanding of the process. I don't want anyone to think someone's a bad mom or a bad dad or bad guardians because, hey, this student all of a sudden stopped showing up to school. You know, if I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight, if I don't know where, you know, we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, school is not necessarily number one on your list. So when you think about trauma and the trauma of being homeless and that experience as a whole, it's crisis management. You're trying to survive. So what we do, we wrap services around the whole family. It's not just the student. We want to make sure parent or guardian is okay too. What services can we provide to the whole family that's going to shore this thing up, secure things, so that we can minimize that trauma as much as possible, make sure the student's education process is still going good, they're still connected, but we're all connected to services, whether that's mental health services, whether that's transportation, whether it's food, insecure, whatever it is, however we can help. If it's not something we have in-house at the district, then we're going to find it out in the community and make that connection for you.
And connection is so important, and I know that you are very active with several boards in the community and different organizations. Talk about the partnerships that you've developed and how these folks support our families.
And partnerships are so huge. We could not do what we do in our district without the help of our community. And I don't want to list or name names, but I will go with two. Let's go with two partnerships. I would say the city of Toledo, a few years ago, I would say that's about 4 years ago now, called and said, hey, do you think you could spend $150,000 on homeless? We see the work you all are doing on homeless, and we have some money that, you know, we think you could use. Absolutely. And so we got that spent in a matter of like 6 months. They called back, hey, what about $2 million? Well, of course I can spend $2 million. But, you know, we are not a housing agency. So our thoughts were, how can we use this money smarter? And so we connected with Lutheran Social Services. The money lived there. And because they do house people, they know that work. Our goal was to feed them the families that needed the help. So no, the money never hit Toledo Public Schools coffers. It wasn't like a win for us, but it was a win for our families. And because of that, we were able to help families get so many utility bills paid, help families that were facing eviction get to keep their homes, stay in their homes, get their back rear rent paid, families that were actually already experiencing homelessness to find them new places to go. That was the most challenging part of that program because Toledo housing stock, affordable and safe places to live in Toledo are hard to find. So even when we had money to house people, finding housing here is really, really rough. But we were able to help so many hundreds and hundreds of families through that program. The funding now, unfortunately, has run out, but the partnership is still there. Another partnership that I would say has been, all of them are strong, so please know that we appreciate all the partnerships. Anthem Insurance has been a huge help in the district regarding making sure students are attending school daily, and that's including our homeless students. So when students improve their attendance, when we look on a week-to-week comparison, or if they happen to have perfect attendance, they're automatically entered into a drawing. And Anthem has purchased so many amazing incentives to provide for students tickets to the Imagination Station, bikes and TVs, and awesome things that we're just so happy to be partnering with them. We love to say, hey, just come to school because it's the right thing to do. But we as adults know incentives help. So when students are seeing other students win, they're getting excited about coming to school. It's keeping attendance and the important attendance on the forefront. So that's huge, too. We are able to do so much more through the power partnership in the district.
And that collaboration this year, the initiative on attendance, we did a really big push, and we're still doing that.
Absolutely.
And the schools have looked upon it as a challenge amongst themselves.
Right.
And so if you follow any of our schools on social media, they are doing big shout outs, you know, hey, look at us. We had 99% attendance this month or this
right.
week, whatever it might be. So it shows that that focus is really helping and driving spirit across the district. So
absolutely.
I think it's interesting when you said you're asking people for hope and you're asking for empathy. What do you see? What does a student go through maybe that is in an unstable housing situation? What can we do as adults to help them get through their school day?
Oh, that's such a good question, Patty. When you said awareness, I think one of the main things within our buildings that we want to make sure we're doing is posting up all over the building, hey, if this is you, this means you could be considered homeless or housing insecure. We like that term better. And these are the things that we can help you with. Please call. If I'm living with my grandmother, even though we had a house fire or we were evicted, in my mind, I'm safe, I'm okay. But they may be walking 3 miles to school not knowing we can help with transportation. Or they may be missing school because they're not getting to where, you know, they are far across town living with grandma according to where they were lived before, in comparison to where they were living before. So we want to make sure they know that, hey, we can help with school supplies. We can help with transportation. We can help maybe put more food in grandma's cabinets because now she's got 4 extra people living there that weren't living there before. So different things that maybe they don't think about, we want them to think about. So communication is huge, helping us communicate that we do have a homeless issue here in Toledo. I don't think we're unique when we talk about other urban school districts. When you look at those numbers, we're comparable to other urbans in Ohio. But that this is happening in Toledo, and how can we all pull together by working through the Toledo Lucas County Homelessness Board? There are plenty of places to volunteer. You can donate to our foundation, TPS Foundation, to if that's something that people are pulled to do, which is always great because we can purchase things that are needed, boots, coats, food, other things that maybe we don't have in our coffers that donations would allow us to do. So there are lots of ways to help, and they can always reach out to me to find out.
Well, and so are you ready to do this? Give your email to people, and you know, what do families need to know? Who do they contact? Can they just go to their school and say, hey, I'm having a problem. I need some assistance?
Absolutely.
That's the best way to do it?
That is a great way to do it because that's your school. That's who you're comfortable with. And we understand there's a big trust issue. And people don't necessarily know who I am. But please know that you can call me. I would love or email me. I would love to hear from our families that may be struggling or from families that just want to help out other families because sometimes it's just that connection. We had a family who was worried about letting their little person walk to school. They had recently lost housing and were now living somewhere else, and they didn't have the same connections in this new community that they had before. Well, we created a little walking mm-hmm. train. We introduced her to some other families, and now those are all walking to school together. It wasn't a far walk, but it was a little person, and mom had to be at work before she was mm-hmm. able to walk to school. So it worked out perfectly, but it's all about those connections. And we want to help families make those connections to resources and other things that they may need.
It goes back to the idea of collaboration and community.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you one final question. In your years of doing this, and that makes you sound so wise and sage, but you've been doing this for several years now. Think of your greatest success story with a family that you worked with directly.
So, yeah, this is my 29th year in the district and probably 20th in this particular part of the world.
You're only 35.
I know, right? 35, yes. So, let's see. There's so many stories. I think there was a recent mom who came in. Actually, she did the Blade article. That mom worked with one of our caseworkers, and her story was just so inspiring. But I think what hit me the most is listening to her talk and hear how upbeat she was, how she wasn't broken through the situation, but she kept pointing to the team, pointing to how connected and how she knew that she could reach out and that someone would be there to help. Whether it was delivering food, she knew her kids were going to have clothes. She knew that we were going to get transportation and get the students. You know, it was just the support that she felt supported and felt seen and heard. And she didn't feel like she was fighting alone. I love that she still was happy and still full of hope. And that made me feel happy and full of hope that through this work, that people can feel supported even in their worst and darkest times.
Yeah. And that's, so Toledo Public Schools, as I said to begin with, we're 20,000 students, over 4,000 employees. We are a big operation. And the fact that we are making an impact one family at a time like that, I think says a lot about your commitment, your drive, your compassion. And I would say that anybody that is lucky enough to connect with you through this, they might need a smile, they might need a shoulder to cry on. Dr. Heather Baker is the one you want to talk to. So,
Thank you, Patty.
If there's anything else we need to remind folks of, just go to their school for more information, tps.org. There's information on supporting our families.
And hbaker@tps.org is also my email. Feel free to email at any time or just call TPS directly. The switchboard will get you right to me.
Awesome. Dr. Baker, I love saying that. Congratulations on achieving that goal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, Patty.
We're going to continue our discussion about the barriers that students at Toledo Public Schools and actually students across our community who attend other schools might be facing when it comes to their education. The lack of adequate health care can significantly harm a student's education and academic outcome. Impacts can vary from absenteeism, reduced concentration, lower academic performance, and increased behavioral issues. Toledo Public Schools is fortunate to work with Health Partners of Western Ohio to support the health care needs of our students and their families. Today, we have with us Maribel Martinez, the Director of School Health Services for Health Partners of Western Ohio. And in doing some research, I learned that the mission of the organization is to eliminate gaps in health outcomes for all members of our community by providing access to quality, affordable, preventative, and primary health care. Communities deserve health care that works. And the work that is being done through Toledo Public Schools and your organization, I think, checks all those boxes. Welcome.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks for having me here today. I really appreciate you going over our mission statement because, yes, we definitely want to eliminate barriers to healthcare. One of those ways is by actually having health centers in schools.
And we have how many health centers? Full service health centers staffed by professional healthcare providers at how many of our schools?
At all six of the comprehensive high schools, we have fully operational health centers. At each site, there is a center receptionist that's who greets you when you first come in. If you're calling in to make an appointment or you have a question, you're going to receive conversation with the actual person, no recordings. We have a nurse at each of our sites, generally in LPN. We have a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant who's there to do all of your medical visits and handle all of your medical needs. And we also have a behavioral health specialist who is an independently licensed social worker.
So these are facilities that pretty much handle any sort of issue or challenge that a student might be facing, whether it's a mental health thing or they might have a headache or they might fall and skin their knee during recess, right? They could come to the health center and get treatment.
Sort of, Patty. So okay. We focus in on primary prevention. So anything like getting your immunizations to ensure you're up to date and ready to go to school, that you have any physicals done, yearly physicals, sports physicals, work permits, anything that's going to help keep you healthy. So just regular visits. We also focus in on what we call our acute care visits, or like when you're sick. So if you do get like a sore throat, as you mentioned, if you're experiencing chronic headaches where it's like, hey, I just, for whatever reason, every week I'm experiencing headaches, then the provider is going to look into that and try and determine the root cause of your headaches. If you have something like a skin knee, then we like to refer those back to our school nurses to handle some of those. If we start to see something, though, this is where the school nurses are really important, that if you start seeing signs and symptoms of infection, like, hey, this needs further action, then our provider can definitely take a look at that and prescribe something for an infection if you do have an infected wound. If it's a deep wound, we do provide sutures as well. So that's a bit of a difference there. Primary care, yes, quick care as we kind of call it, which is commonly known as urgent care. And we manage everyday chronic conditions like hypertension, diabetes, asthma for our students and members of the community.
And I'm always surprised at the number of visits that you guys provide back, the data that we get back from you. So, and sometimes you are seeing students for the first time that they've never had constant continuity as far as healthcare goes. So talk about the number of students and some, you talked about diabetes, asthma, all the things.
Sure, Patty. So last school year, we had a total of 17,771 visits. And those are made up of our medical visits, mental health or behavioral health visits, and dental visits. We actually have a full dental suite at the Waite Health Center. We have a dentist who's there 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
And these are things that a student might be complaining, my mouth hurts, when they don't know why. They've not been to a dentist, so they go down to the health clinic, or if it's one of the elementary students, they get to the health clinic and they go in and my tooth hurts. Well, this is why, and it might be, then we've taken care of that issue. And I love that you call it saved seat time. What does that mean?
So saved seat time, we started tracking the amount of time that instructional time is being reserved, that students are actually staying in school, in their classrooms, and learning. So when students come down to us for a primary visit, for a sick visit, for an oral care visit, and they're sent back to class, we count that as saved seat time. So the way they calculate that is when a student arrives to our health center and then we dismiss them back to class, the amount of time remaining in the school day is what's captured, and we keep a running average total of that. So on average, we save approximately 2 hours and
We'll say 2 hours.
2 hours. It was almost close to three. It's like 2 hours and 57 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yes. So actually, each one of our visits is approximately 35 to 40 minutes in length.
So, and I think it's, you mentioned that is saving travel time. So maybe mom doesn't have to take off half a day of work. It's just a few, if it's an elementary student that needs to get to the high school where the full service clinic is, it's only an hour out of the day and not a half a day. And like you said, they're getting right back to class. So that's the important part. They're only missing a short amount of instructional time.
That is accurate, Patty. 96% of students are returned back to class when they come down and see us. 3% are sent home. And that's usually if they have something communicable, like strep. It tends to be a common one, or they test positive for one of the influenzas, A, B, or C, something where we can't have them around the other students. They need to go home, start their meds, and then they can come back to school. We also offer pharmacy services. So if somebody does need a medication, we can have medication delivered to the school or to their home. So that way we're getting them started on meds. And again, getting them back to school sooner rather than later.
And the whole partnership is about keeping kids in school and building that community. So you talked about the dental visits. What about vision services?
So with vision services, we have what we call our vision outreach. Health Partners has vans that travel out to the schools. They, if a parent signs a consent, then a licensed eye doctor, an optometrist will come do the exam for the student. If they require any corrective lenses, they can write that prescription. The opticians will do the measurement and ordering of the glasses. When the glasses come back, they come back to the school. They'll do the fitting for the student. If there's any additional instructions needed, they will provide those to the student at that time. If the student, for whatever reason, loses them, breaks them, we also offer a replacement pair of glasses for the student. So last year, Patty, we did approximately 1,839 pairs of glasses for students. And we had around 3,500 visits out to the schools strictly for vision services.
And that is... Again, when you think about the 20,000 students that we have in Toledo Public Schools and the services that we're providing through your organization, that is, again, sometimes the only health care that they are receiving for a number of reasons. But again, a student, you know, we talked about the dentist, oh, my tooth hurts, so they can't concentrate. Mm-hmm. Or you've got a student squinting to see the board, always has a headache, comes in, gets glasses. Is there a way, I wonder if there's a way to track the outcome if a student does get glasses? Do we see an improvement in the classroom? I would love to know if we are able to track that somehow. Wouldn't that be an interesting statistic?
That would be, but we definitely always try and prioritize some of those younger grades, especially when they're first learning their alphabet. They're learning those essential reading skills. So we heavily prioritize those younger grades so that way they're on track for reading, right? Because you can't do that if you can't see.
So that's a screening before it becomes an issue.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. That's important to know. So you talk about the health, about sports physicals. And work permits.
Yes.
That's important for our student athletes.
For our student athletes, absolutely. It's important to be involved in school and have extracurriculars. And lots of times when, like you mentioned, you have a parent who's working, some of our families, their parents are working two jobs, or transportation can be an issue, or just getting a visit in within a time frame. We know how kids are, and at the last minute, they're like, oh, by the way, I need to have this physical done, right? And their office may not be able to get them in. Well, we do have specific days where we can focus solely on sports physicals. We generally do that in the summer for those fall sports. But they can come and see us anytime that we're open. We're available for them to come in and have that done before school, after school, because we do open at 7:30 and we close at 4. So we do try and see students outside of the traditional school window. So that way, again, they're in school, not being pulled away from their, you know, classes. So we do try and offer those services, or if their parent wants to come in, maybe they can come in, you know, through some of those other times that were available.
That's important to know. I love the idea that it's available to students, and if they, as you said, if there's a chronic issue, or that they can come back and get checked, so again they're not missing out on school for that, and it's monitored and the support is needed as it's brought forward. And we are, through the district, working with you guys to do a Wellness Wednesday for internal staff, because goodness knows we don't always take care of ourselves, the adults. We talk to the kids about taking care of themselves. What's the importance of Wellness Wednesday and what we're sharing through our newsletters to staff?
Sure. So on Wellness Wednesdays, we are focusing on staff and all members of the TPS community on helpful tips to stay healthy, wellness, mind, body, and spirit, different things that they can do. Hand hygiene is one that we focus in on. We've also talked about some of the other programs that we have, as far as like asthma. We do a lot with students who have asthma. We have educators that will come out and work with the students one-on-one. They can receive telehealth visits right to our primary care providers at the local high schools. We also do have an asthma NP who oftentimes will come out and do visits at the school for that student, to especially at the beginning of the year, to get them set up with their meds, ensure that they have everything that they need for school time, and then we'll check up with them periodically throughout the school year. So again, those elementary students may not be able to get to our high school, so we'll send somebody to them when we're able to do that.
That's really great, and that's good to know. That's, again, a service to families and something that keeps our students in school. We are heavily into the flu season.
Yes.
What do we do? We've had to make some adjustments at one of our schools already, and it's continuing to be on the news. What are the best tips to keep our students and our staff healthy in the flu season?
So hand washing, Patty, hand washing, hand washing, hand washing. So washing your hands with soap and water, because there's certain viruses out there that the hand sanitizer is just not effective against killing. So definitely wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. Flu vaccines are also very, very helpful. We offer those at all of our school-based health centers. TPS did offer vaccines to their staff, and we had a few outreaches for them, and they could come down to their local school-based health center to get that vaccine as well, and that worked out really well. We gave just a little over around 300 vaccines to TPS staff members, so
okay,
that was great.
Awesome.
And then, Patty, just keeping it simple, if you're sick, stay home. If you're coughing, cough into that, you know, elbow, try and increase ventilation. And rest. And take care of yourself. Let your body heal.
That's it. That's awesome. That's I took advantage of the health clinic and the flu shot, and I'd been to several of the flu clinics when they opened, and we did media announcements on it. But you just forget how staffed and how equipped, and it is like you are walking into a doctor's office or you are walking into an urgent care facility, and you are greeted by a healthcare professional, and you are treated as such, and it was a seamless process. So it's a valuable or invaluable service that we have in Toledo Public Schools. What is the best advice that you can give as far as students and keeping themselves healthy, parents keeping your students healthy, getting over the barrier of health and health needs and providers?
I would say it's those preventative health care services. I think, as you mentioned, life gets really busy. We're working, we're, you know, hustling, we're doing all of the things. And we say, oh yeah, we'll get to that, we'll get to that. And it isn't until you're actually really sick, till you're kind of stopped in your tracks, that you're forced to actually have to deal with that situation. And then lots of times what you run into is you haven't been to your healthcare provider in the past year, or it's been some time, you missed some visits, and it's a little harder to get in somewhere. So our school-based health centers are here to eliminate that barrier that lots of our families face. If you wake up and you're sick that day, give us a call. We'll work you into the schedule. The TPS staff members, if they're sick, if they're at work, sometimes we start out the day just fine. And they're like, oh, my throat's feeling a little funky, or hey, I I think I'm starting to come down with something. Hey, I'm starting to have some symptoms of a UTI. Call the school-based health center. They can let them know, like, hey, you know, I work over at Hawkins, or I'm just upstairs on the third floor and I'm not feeling well. Can you guys get me in? We always prioritize our students and TPS staff members. We're always open, like I said, to the community. If they're not doing well, they have transportation issues. Most of our comprehensive high schools are within walking distance to most of our families. So we're accessible to them 7 days a week.
And that's great to know. So if we have a parent listening or a member of our community that has a question, you can obviously go to tps.org. We have all the information there. Or they can call one of the high schools, our traditional high schools. Or if they have a student at one of our elementary schools and they have a question, they will point them in the right direction. So thank you for all that you do and have done for us through Toledo Public Schools and now your work with the Health Partners.
Yes, thank you for having me, Patty. Right. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, 1 in 6 U.S. youth aged 6 through 17 experience a mental health disorder each year, and half of all mental health conditions begin by the age of 14. Attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, behavior problems, anxiety, and depression are the most common and diagnosed mental disorders in students or children that we see in our country. These numbers have been on the rise since COVID-19 and can also be traced back to youth spending too much time on social media. TPS has long recognized that a portion of our students could be struggling with some sort of mental health issue, and we work to provide supports in the schools as best we can. However, a group of very enterprising students share a tough lesson with the administration, and that was when our plans, they said, were good, but you could tell they were developed by adults. Do you remember this, Jada? Not by students. The people who are living it and seeing it every day. So once again, the administration, we learned a lesson from our students. Today, I'm very happy and proud to introduce three of our all-star students, Jada Rose, David Drini, and Carmen Johns. Jada, you are a student at the Pre-Med and Health Science Academy. What year are you at Pre-Med?
I am in 11th grade, third year at Pre-Med.
Do you love it? Yes or no?
I love it.
Why?
I love it because even though it gets stressful, the teachers give us like work days or days we can cool down or we can like take a breather for a second and we can readjust.
Awesome. What about you, Carmen? You're at Toledo Technology Academy of Engineering. That sounds very highfalutin.
Yeah, I'm an 11th grader at TTA.
Okay.
And I love being here a lot. It's a lot of fun, and the administration is super welcoming. And if you have any issues, the wellness room, they're very welcoming and very communicative and want to help as much as I can.
Want to see students succeed. That's awesome.
Yeah.
David, how about you?
Kind of the same as Carmen. I'm going on my 5th year at TTA.
Okay.
I've been there since 7th grade.
Awesome.
And I've gotten to know the teachers, and as she said, they all do, like, wish for a student's success, even if you can tell they don't like the student, or or if the student's a troublemaker, you can still tell that they really hope they succeed, and they're not going to give any less help just because they're problematic in some ways.
Hey, that's all honesty. We appreciate that.
And I do like to see that.
Awesome.
You see a lot of, with the little mental health issues that we have seen, you've seen the teachers and administration kind of step up and help out.
Working to help. That's great. So we talk about SMARTS. Who can tell me what SMARTS stands for? And Jada, I know you are part of this because I think you've been part of SMARTS since the beginning, have you not? So SMARTS stands for what? Students making, it's on your shirt. Students making achievements right this second. What does that mean to you?
It means to me that for my school, that us as students are in, like, we can take others' opinions and we can make them a change for our school, because I know that some of our students don't really get to say things that they want because of the environment we are in. It's most strictly professional because we are in a medical school. They try to make it as much professional as they can, like the working environment we are trying to be in.
That's, they're trying to bring in the atmosphere of what your job, what your career path would be like for you.
Correct.
So SMARTS, we come together as a group, students from each high school, three times a school year, and you all take on a project. You've all done some work in your school to improve the climate, the culture, the atmosphere in your building. But one thing really stood out, and this was a few years back, and that was the idea of addressing student mental health and wellness. And the administration came in and, oh, we have a mental health program. And some of your peers were like, yes, but you can tell it was written by adults, not by students. Can we rewrite this? Can we make adjustments to this? And the SMART students did that. Do you remember that process, Jada?
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you guys do with SMARTS for that?
For that, I think it was Michelle that, like, introduced the idea to us, because she was in the mental health program with SMARTS. She, I'm guessing they had a meeting of some sort, and she brought it up to us right after the field trip we went there for. And she's like, we can make a mental health room, but we will have to collab with TTA. And I'm like, that would be good. We can use the room. We share a building. And from that, we move forward with it. We came into a few problems, but those problems were like, if we want to share a room, then if we didn't want to share a room, the cost would be higher for us. So we decided as a whole to share the room, the wellness room. And after that, we had to work on buying furniture, painting the room, and everything else that came with that. And then we had to get it publicized. Just those came with a few problems, but Miss Allen, our gym teacher, and our teacher advocate for SMARTS at Toledo Pre-Med. Mm-hmm. She helped a lot with that.
And Miss Lawless. We better talk about Miss Lawless, or she will be heartbroken if we don't. So I think what comes across is there was lots of collaboration, lots of compromise, and in the end, the idea was for students to have a place, because school, and you've all said it, school can be a very daunting place sometimes. It's a lot of stress. There's some, we go through it as adults. Why we don't think students go through it every day. So the wellness room, what does it mean to you, Carmen, when you want to go to the wellness room? What do you do there?
Me personally, I like to take a break in it. It's just to get all your mind off of everything, because there's just so much workload, and you just need a second to relax. And even if it's just being in there for like 5 minutes, it still gives you like the time to yourself to just relax, remember that you exist and you're a person, and you need to take time for yourself.
And for those who aren't aware, TTA, Toledo Technology Academy of Engineering, and the first campus for the Toledo Pre-Med, they're at the DeVilbiss campus. So they do share a building, and there's a common hallway where this room is located. So you guys come forward, you put together this plan for a wellness room, and you bring forward the whole idea of mental health wellness. You present at one of our board meetings, one of the committee meetings, the board members were so taken by the presentation that they had you host a special board meeting where we did some moderation and you guys talked about what mental health meant. And there were community members in the room and they were all so impressed. They came forward and said, we want to help. So the next thing you know, we had, well, I don't know, over $119,000 from different community groups donated to this project. Who got to go and pick out the furniture down at NBS? Did you? So you guys went down there and what did you do? This is a local company that supplies office furniture and supplies for the Toledo area.
So they had like interior designers there too. And then like obviously, you know, people in charge of it. And we kind of just walked around, looked at what they were offering, and they wanted to help us as much as possible. I had like the best time there. They are such lovely people to work with. We just kind of walked around. We talked about color palettes. They showed us our options. They were very like accommodating to us. They gave us a lot to work with, and we appreciate everything they did. They gave us like a whole bunch of stuff, like different colors, different patterns, like what we wanted to do with the walls and stuff like that. And they helped us put our vision to life. Like they had a 3D modeling kind of thing where like we talked about what we wanted to see in the room and how we wanted to look, where we wanted like the furniture to go. And they put it like in a model for us to like physically see. And it was like amazing. It was crazy. Like we do some stuff like that at our school, but it was like insane the type of software they were using.
That's awesome. And I think it goes back to the whole idea of this was something that you guys were bringing forward. You were very passionate about the project and they felt that passion. They saw the passion. They were with us when we did the launch for the wellness room and they could not have been more proud of the outcome. So David, now we're talking about, we know that the room is going to be more utilized in the coming weeks now. Have you been in there? What are you seeing? Have your friends been in there? What do they come away with as a benefit from the wellness room?
We have a room similar, Ms. Basta's room. She's our special education teacher.
Okay.
And some students use her room, and it's nice seeing the students who use her room as a break hear about and like the idea of the kindness room. And I personally haven't gone in to use it as a break. I've been in there and I've been in there with people and they all have positive reactions from it and they all will talk about it, liking the idea of it and are really excited to see it be put in place.
And that's another good term that you use there, kindness and wellness. They go together, right? And I know that was part of the initiative as well. So you are a junior?
We're all juniors.
All juniors. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. What do you see as the next step for SMARTS and making sure that this initiative, this program keeps growing and that we don't lose sight of the importance of mental health and student wellness?
We'd like to promote the room more. Like, it'd be amazing to see other schools taking initiative to, like, have the opportunity that we have with having the room. So I'd say, like, finishing the room so it, like, can run on its own. Like, even when us juniors are gone and, like, it's the next group of SMARTS kids running the room, we want it to be able to continue without, like, us being there to keep pulling it along. We want it to become, like, a fully machine. Like, we want it to just exist for everyone to be able to use.
Become part of the core of the schools.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I know that another part of your goal was for staff to be trained in mental health, wellness, and awareness. How are we doing with that? Is that training going on, do you know? Have we moved forward with that?
I don't think our pre-med teachers have fully moved forward with it. We have presented the idea, mm-hmm. and okay. a few of them like thought highly of it, but mm-hmm. I don't think we actually got to the point of working with the teachers
okay.
with that yet.
Well, that sounds like something then that I need to go back and talk to Mrs. Lawless about and and put some pressure on her and maybe Dr. Durant, right? What do you guys think? Yeah, because he did a video. You guys asked him to do a video to show support of this, and he did that willingly. And he's been a big promoter, and the Board of Education certainly was a big promoter. I think we gained a lot of traction and a lot of awareness the night that we did our board meeting, and that mental health and student wellness. And David, I love the kindness spin in there. I think that's become something that we can continue moving forward with. In the few minutes that we have left, what do you want to say about SMARTS? What do you want people that might be listening and have never heard of SMARTS before, what do you want them to know?
I would like them to know that SMARTS is welcome to everyone, and we encourage people and students to join and make a change, even if it's a small change, because some other people might really need that, and we encourage you to present your ideas and not to feel self-conscious about what you think and what others might think different.
Carmen?
I believe that students should join. We the more the merrier, honestly. We want people who want to help, and more people helping out, the more it's going to make ideas like the kindness and wellness room come true. And then for adults, we always want feedback from, you know, parents, teachers, administration, like how this would work out, if you have any ideas. And then we can run it through the mind of, you know, students to see how well that would go about in schools. And we love help from people, just anyone.
I love that. We want everybody involved. David, do you want everybody involved?
Yeah, we do. we love the feedback. We don't want to just do stuff and expect people to just like it. We want to know what they want, and we want to make sure that it's not just something we like. It's something everyone likes.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, I knew you guys would make us TPS proud today. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate your commitment to SMARTS, to making the wellness room and the kindness room. I'm going to remember that, making it a reality and keeping it moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You bet.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of another episode of TPS Proud Out Loud. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Heather Baker, Ms. Maribel Martinez, Jada Rose, a student at the Pre-Med Health and Science Academy, David Drini and Carmen Johns, both students at the Toledo Technology Academy of Engineering. I'm Patty Mazur. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Join us again next time on TPS Proud Out Loud.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.